Amen, amen. Thank you, Pastor. Right before coming up here, it seems as though the theme for everything that I've experienced inside of this house here this morning is victory. Amen? It's victory. And so, just before coming up here, I had the feeling, the thought, I don't know, the unction, I suppose, just stop for a second and just tell the people that I am victorious, says the Lord. He's greater than all things. He's greater than anything that you would come against. He's greater than anything that would come against you. He's greater than any sickness that would ever enter your body. Amen? Do we believe it? He's greater. He's greater than any adversary that would ever come against his church, because he loves his church. He loves you. He's greater than any battle that would ever be pitched and waged before us. In fact, he's already gone before us, and he's already won every battle. Amen? He's a victorious God. He tells us that he's a victorious God. He assures us that he's a victorious God. We don't have to guess. We don't have to wonder, is my God going to come through? I don't know. We don't have to wonder about that. All we have to do is look at his word and know that he's already won the battle, that he's already gone before me. He's already gone before you. Amen. And so all I have to do, really, all I have to do is praise him and thank him for it. Jesus, Lord, I praise your name. Lord, I thank you for your victory in this house. Lord, I thank you for your victory in this city. I thank you, Lord, for your victory in my life and in every life under the sound of my voice right now. Jesus, I claim your promises. I claim your victory right now, Jesus, right now. As the pastor said, right now lives are being changed. Right now his spirit is preparing vessels. Right now hearts are being mended. Right now I believe relationships are getting ready to be reconciled. Right now, do we believe it? In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is good. He is faithful. He is true. Amen. Amen. There's no life. There's no life like a life within his presence. There's no blessing like being in his presence. In fact, if it weren't for Jesus, where would we go? What would we do? There's no place else for us to turn now. And we've tasted and we've seen that the Lord is good. There's no place else where we could go to be satisfied now. There's no place else for us. Amen. We're all in. Jesus, amen. If you would turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. We're going to start on verse 1. And I'm reading out of the ESV here this morning, so forgive me if that's apostasy. But out of the ESV it says, and you can follow along in the King James right above me, verse 1 of Ezekiel chapter 37, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. They were very dry. And he said, Son of man, can these bones live? Son of man, can these bones live? He says. And Ezekiel answers, says, Oh Lord, you know. And then he said to me, he said, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Prophesy over these dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Prophesy now. Church, prophesy over yourself. Prophesy over your family. Prophesy over this church. Any dry places, any places that need a refreshing or a renewing from the Lord, prophesy now and speak to them. Oh Lord, that these bones would live. Jesus. Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can be seated here this morning. At this point, I have to wonder, as Ezekiel's having this exchange with the Lord, and he's standing in this valley of dry bones, you can imagine, as you go further in this scripture, it eventually reveals to us that it's an army that rises up out of these bones, right? And so, can you imagine the piles? I don't know how deep the piles would have been, but he's probably standing in piles of bones. And God tells him, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And then he tells him, "Prophesy to these bones, they're dry." I have to imagine at this point, I have to wonder if Ezekiel was having a moment where he was just kind of sitting there like, "This is fine. This is fine." And so if you can see the screen above me, this little dog has become my spirit animal. Kidding. But who can relate to this meme? I can think of a few things. One, if I think you're able to do it. So if you can advance the slide, I have just a few examples I'd like to share, a few anecdotes, if you will. The project update at work today. Project not touched since the last update. This is fine. What else do we have? Oh, it's 3 a.m. scrolling Facebook on my phone. Got to be at work at 7. This is fine. Next. Chemistry homework due tonight. Teacher didn't go over it in class. Relatable? This is fine. I think there's one more. Preparing to preach on Sunday, searching for memes instead. This is fine. I titled originally this message, or I thought to title this, an exegetical analysis on the case of Ezekiel's Valley of Dry Bones. But that doesn't really roll off the tongue very easy, so I shortened it to, "This is fine. This is fine." Amen. I can't help but to look for a little bit of comedic relief in all things. I don't know. I think there's the joy of the Lord. It causes us to sometimes see humor where it might not even be appropriate to see humor, but here we are this morning, and the title, at least for now, "This is fine." Many would say that it's the end of the world as we know it, and if you're a Generation X kid or an 80s kid, you might recognize that phrase. Michael Stipe would say, "Well, that's great. It starts with an earthquake, birds and snakes and airplanes, the eye of the hurricane." But then he would go on to say, "It's the end of the world as we know it." It's the end of the world as we know it. Most of you probably don't know that song. Maybe you do. It occurs to me that there might be some copyright issues with what I just did. So this broadcast is in no way, shape, or form monetary or commercial in its purposes, and the aforementioned lyrics belong to R.E.M. Also, I was 0 years old when this song came out. And despite that, it seems strangely relatable to what we're experiencing in 2020. It's not hard to look around and start to react to what we see happening in the news. It's easy to look around and see perceived slights and injustices, not perceived slights and injustices, real injustices. It's easy to look around and see these things and see what the news is telling us and everything else and begin to become discouraged. It's easy to look around and see that maybe our liberties are being stripped or our coinage is disappearing. What happened to the coins? And all of this, some would say it's the end of the world as we know it, and that's probably true. There's probably things that we used to do that we might do a little bit differently now. There's probably methods that we used to have that we might do a little bit differently now. Forms of payment. There's no coins. We might have to pay with bills now. Or pay whole amounts. I don't know, because they won't give the coins back. But the point is, things are shifting. Things are changing. Things are a little bit different now than they were before. And again, this isn't to make light of our current situation, but I do appreciate a little dosage of comic relief. And so in all of this, we have elements that would seek to cause fear and division and strife. We have Facebook preachers coming out of the woodwork, coming into the droves, and they're telling us it, we got to prep, we got to buy up all the ammunition and all the food. We're fearful of losing our venues and our places of worship. All of these things, and I'm not discounting this, but we've just got done singing about a victorious God, amen? We've just got done singing about a God who we say he's gone before us, and we say that he's preparing a way for us. So why should I fear? Why should I have any fear over the things that I might be perceiving? Why should I have any fear over what I see happening around me, over the end of the world as we know it, right? This is fine. But it really is. I have this assurance. You have this assurance. And so if all of that's true, I have to say that this isn't the first time that God's people have faced uncertainty. It's not the first time we've taken some heat. It's not the first time the church has faced adversary. It's not the first time that God's people before the church have even faced adversary. You have to turn around and look at someone next to you and say, hey, we've been here before. We've been here before. Amen? You look at the days of Noah, and the Bible describes it. The Bible even relates it to our current time. Just like the days of Noah, we see people are self-driven, selfish. We see hearts are hardened. We see this world, we see where everybody is self-serving. We've been here before. God brought Noah out of it and his family. God set them up. And unfortunately, God decided to just start over at that point in time, unfortunately for them, fortunately for us, I suppose. But then you see the journey continue, and God sets up his people, and the forefathers come, the patriarchs, and eventually we see Israel become set up in the tribes of Israel, and God is setting him up for a purpose. And the promise unto Abraham that you'll be the father of many nations. So God is doing all of these things. But then the children of Israel, once again, they find themselves captured, enslaved in the land of Egypt. And everything was going good, but now there's a new Pharaoh, and now we're enslaved, now we're captured, we're in bondage. Now, once again, something has come against us. We've been here before. And then they escape that, and God brings them out. And that's just the book of Genesis. That's the first book of the Bible. And we see a whole history of Israel. And we get into Exodus, and they come out. And then God eventually sets up kings over Israel. And then eventually they get invaded, and they get carried off to Babylon. And again, persecution against God's people. So I'd say we've been here before. Amen. And then after Babylon, the Persians come in. And then the Greeks come in and take their stuff. And then the Romans come in and they do it all over again. God's people are no stranger to uncertainty. However, in the midst of all of that, I have to point out that Jesus still managed to prepare this world for the birthing of his church. In the midst of all of that, Jesus still managed, in the midst of Roman occupation of the Holy Land, Jesus still managed to walk this earth and die on a cross for me and for you. He still managed to go before and have a real victory, a real living God. Amen? Rest assured, he's got this. He's got the church. We're in his hands. And so really what I think I want to talk about more is more on a personal level. I know that God's got this church. I need to know if he's got me. You need to know if he's got you. Amen? I'm aware that it's not difficult right now to become isolated. The most basic tactic of any adversary is to isolate. Isolate his adversaries, his enemies. Isolate. That's the first thing. That's the first tool in the book of warfare. Isolate. Concentrate. Amen? And so I'm aware that it's easy to become isolated in these types of times and environments where we're social distancing and we're trying to keep our distance and we're not embracing the way we used to embrace and we're not gathering the way we used to gather. I'm aware of the dangers. But the question to ask today is, when you look inside your own heart, when I'm looking inside my own heart right now, am I finding dry places? Am I finding, as Ezekiel found, a valley of dry bones? What I'm talking about is the gradual drying out of the wellspring, the things, the anointing, the spirit that we had grown so accustomed to, the gradual drying out of those things over time and space and distance. And if you're looking inside right now and you're finding these dry places, I doubt you're alone in that. Amen? But I have an encouraging word from the Lord today. Amen? And so the scripture, starting in verse 1, said, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit. And he set me down in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones." Set me down in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. I have to ask the question, inside, do you find that there's this old man or this old woman or this old familiar thing drawing you back into old familiar habits? Are these the desires, are they starting to creep back up? Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Does the things that you thought you had already overcome through God, are they knocking on your window right now saying, "I see that you haven't been around God's people much lately, recently, and well, just, you know, want you to know that I'm here for you. I don't need you. I don't want that." But it's there. You find yourself questioning, how did I end up back here again? How did I end up back in this place again? I've been here before, and not in a good way. I thought I beat that, and yet there it is. Sometimes you struggle to find the presence of God and worship. I'm being real. Someone's hearing this right now. Someone's relating with this right now. You see everybody else around you with hands lifted. You see everybody else around you, and it seems like every single person is getting a breakthrough, and the anointing is washing over every person as they're singing out. Meanwhile, you're sitting there, and you're like, "I can't feel it like I used to feel it. I'm struggling to get in his presence like I used to be in his presence, and I don't know what's going on, but I'm finding dry places inside of me right now." If you can relate to that, just lift your hands to God. "Jesus, Lord, I ask that you renew these dry places. Lord, I ask that you renew across this congregation any place that's dried up, any place that used to be and should be a wellspring of your spirit. Lord, I prophesy saying that you will fill those places with your anointing. You will fill those places, Lord Jesus, once again. You will renew your church. You will renew your congregation, Lord, as your word has spoken it." Amen. Amen. Wherever it is you find yourself right now, perhaps you don't have those places, but perhaps you just long for more. Because there's nothing else that satisfies after you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And so maybe that's just it. You have a measure and you want more. You want a double portion. Whatever it is, we all have the same God reaching out to us in this place this morning. And we see that God and all of His Scripture and all of His Word and all of His message to us. Throughout the Bible, throughout the Scripture, He addresses this and He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. His Word tells us that. It does. And He says, I know the plans that I have for you. Amen. He said, plans for peace, welfare, He says, not evil, to bring you to an expected end, to give you a hope and a future. These are the words of God speaking to us, speaking to you. He was speaking to Jeremiah, but prophetically those words are for us if we claim them. I know my God has a promise. I know that He's placed a hope before me. Amen? So it doesn't matter what I'm experiencing right now. I know what His Word says is true. And so He leads Ezekiel and Ezekiel says, He led me around and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley and they were very dry, these bones. They call it a process. They call this process skeletonization. The drying out of these bones. Skeletonization. Yeah, I looked it up. I did. It refers to the final stage of decomposition during which the last vestiges of your tissue, they eventually just liquefy and disappear. And all that's left, it's your skeleton, your bones. And by the end of this process, all the soft tissue's gone and there's just bones. And they become scattered, they become dry, dry bones. But the thing is, it takes time. There's a few stages that we progress on the way to becoming dry bones. And if you're wondering right now if I'm talking metaphorically or literally, yes. There is a process whereby the body dries out and becomes dry bones, but there's also a process of time that's involved when we dry out in our spirit. There's a process of time involved where we decide not to step out and worship, and then we set a precedence and we decide again not to step out and worship, or we decide not to engage with God's people, or we decide not to read His Word or regard what He's telling us. We decide not to regard Him before we regard ourselves. Amen? In this process, it takes time. It doesn't just happen overnight. They say that nobody backslides overnight. And I think that's what we see here. It takes time. Just like the body goes through stages after death before becoming a pile of bones, so too does our spirit experience this process of time as we dry out and drift away from God. It's gradual, a little here and a little there. But speaking literally right now, just speaking literally, I want to explain the biological body and process, the timeline of decomposition. As it turns out, it's really gross. Yeah, I looked it up. I'm a guy. I'm of the male variety. It's what we do. We look things up, gross things, right? We share gross things. Hey, brother Jesse, this gym bag smells terrible, man. Come check it out. It's what we do. And so I looked it up. I'll spare the worst of the details, but I want to take just a few minutes to impress upon us just what Ezekiel's witnessing here when he's standing in this valley of dry bones. There's a reason God used that vision. There's a reason God took him up in the Spirit and showed him that valley. There's a reason that God placed that in the Scripture for us. And so this is what we're doing here. Speaking of this, the dry bones, the biological, literal decomposition and drying out of our bodies. This is what happens. Just a few minutes after death, one of the first things to go is the brain. It's the mind. I mean, that'll preach in itself, I think. The first thing to go is the mind. It seems like on this journey to dryness, the mind goes first. The things, the thoughts that we allow to inhabit, even before we speak them, the things that we entertain in our mind, they lead us down that path that pulls us away from our brother or our sister. Amen? And before they're even manifest into words, they exist up here. I think Pastor said it well on Wednesday. He said that it's up here. It's in your mind first before you speak it. And you have an opportunity in that moment to take that into captivity. You have an opportunity to take every thought into captivity. Amen? Because through Christ's Spirit, you've been given that authority over your own mind. I love to hear positive talk. I love to hear encouragement. I love to hear when a brother or a sister is willing to point out the positive attributes in their brother or their sister. They're willing to overlook the negative attributes. They're willing to focus on the good that they find in that person. I love hearing those things. I do. It gets me down if I hear the opposite. Do I leave my house every day with rose-colored glasses? Yeah, probably. I do. But His Word tells us that whatsoever things are pure and true, whatsoever is honest and just, whatsoever is a good report, whatever is lovely, all of these things, these godly attributes, think on these things. He tells us, think on these things. His Spirit gives us the power to alter our thoughts and to take everything into captivity. Amen? We're not subject to whatever enters into our mind. We're not subject to it. We have God's Spirit. We're overcomers. So, like I said, I love to hear positive talk. It's encouraging. Proverbs 18, from the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. He is satisfied by the yield of his lips. In other words, your words feed your spirit. Your words feed the spirit of those around you. And so it starts in the mind and it manifests in the words, and that's the first thing to go. So if you hear yourself speaking things you never thought you would speak, pay attention. The brain goes first. When the heart stops beating, it halts the blood flow that would go to the brain. The blood normally delivers oxygen to these organs. And the brain is one of the most oxygen-hungry organs we have. And so without that flow of blood and that delivery of oxygen, it immediately begins to die. And as we know, our bodies are made of like 70% water. That includes all of the cells in our brains. And I'm not going to get too graphic here, but if you can imagine this 70% water vessel that's living up in this noggin of mine, once it starts to die, all of that liquid, you get the picture? Fluids begin to pool around the body. Within hours, all of the healthy bacteria that lives inside your gut and your intestines, they begin to escape. And if this is getting too graphic, I'm sorry. Not sorry. Oh, good. Thank you. And all of that healthy bacteria begins to escape, and I'm not going to give the gory details, but it sets off a chain reaction, and your skin begins to change color, and you begin to change composition as those bacteria, as they start feeding through your body and looking for other sources of food. They eventually start creating toxic gases, and things start to become smelly at this point. And if you're in a dry, isolated environment like a clean coffin, this process can be prolonged. And if you're free from scavengers and all of those things, picking your body apart, it might take a while for this all to happen. After a few months, your complexion starts to blacken due to the iron content in your blood as your vessels deteriorate. Your body's changing. It doesn't just go from dead to bones. There's a process that happens that gets us there. And the molecular structure holding our cells together, our skin, our tissues, it begins to break up. And when it does, we no longer hold this elastic form. We just kind of fall apart. And again, the rest of our body starts to liquefy and disappear. After a year, even our clothing starts to disintegrate due to the toxins and the acidic fluids that we discharge. So 50 years in, everything is gone. It's disappeared. It's left behind bones. 80 years in, even the collagen within those bones starts to disintegrate and our bones become brittle. They start to crack. They're just shells of what they used to be. This is what I imagine Ezekiel is experiencing in this valley of dry bones. The scripture doesn't tell us that he's among bones and skeletons. It specifically says they were very dry. And so Ezekiel's walking among this army, this lifeless army, and they didn't just show up. They didn't just recently fall away. They didn't just recently die. It has been ages. It has been decades, this dry army. There's no hope for these bones. They've dried out. The collagen within them is gone. They're shells. They're not even, he could probably pick up one of these bones and it would most likely just turn to dust in his hand. And the Lord says, Son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live? Tell me, son of man, can these bones live? Sometimes we can feel like we've gone so far and so long without doing the things that we think we should or that we know we should be doing, without doing the things that we feel called to do, without spending the time that we feel called to spend. We can go so far and so long and think, well, now I'm just so far gone, I don't even know how to get back to that place where I had a consistent prayer life, or how to get back to that place where I felt His Spirit every time I uttered His name in worship. How do I even get back to that place? But I'm telling you that there's no distance that you can create between yourself and God. There's no space that you can create between you that He won't sweep back in and find you. Amen. There's nothing, no thing that you can do that will separate you from His love. Because I'm convinced that not height nor depth will separate me from the love of God. There's nothing in this world that will keep Him from me. Amen? And there's nothing that will keep Him from you. So if you find condemnation in your mind, remember the mind goes first. Reject it. That condemnation is not coming from the Lord. Amen? The condemnation's not coming from the Lord. I'll say it again. It's not coming from God. Condemnation is God is not keeping you down. God is not holding you under His thumb. God is not reminding you of your failures in your past life. God is not reminding you of inadequacies. He's not telling you you're not good enough. He's not telling you that you don't belong with His people. He's not telling you that there's no room for you under His roof. Amen? If you're hearing that, that is not of God. God is a God who restores. Jesus is a God who reconciles. He's a God who breathes life back into dry places. He's a God that says, Son of man, speak to these bones that they would live. Son of man, prophesy to these bones, these dry places, that they would be renewed with my spirit. They would be renewed with the pour out that I have. Amen. That's the God that I serve. Although these dry places, they take time to develop, as I explained for the course, before they become brittle and dry. It takes time to find these types of dry places. Despite all the time and distance, God's message remains clear. His message remains the same. He goes on to say to the prophet, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you. You shall live. And I will lay the sinews upon you, and I will cause flesh to come upon you, and I will cover you with skin, and I will put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. It's almost as if this vision of Ezekiel is a direct and opposite representation of what it is to decompose. It's like he puts his back piece by piece together again. He says, first, I'm going to lay the sinews in you, the strands, the muscles, the ligaments, all of those things, and then I'm going to cover you with flesh, your muscle structure, and your skin's going to come back upon you again. I'm going to renew you piece by piece. The things that you thought you lost, I'm going to add them back to you piece by piece. The things that were gone, disintegrated, they're a puddle, I'm giving them, I'm bringing them back to you if you would receive them, he says. It takes time. It takes time to dry out. But it seems as though God is willing and able to restore those things in a matter of moments. And if we read on, we see this. He says, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I'm here to encourage you that God is with you. And He's always reaching. And He's always willing. And He's always able. And so the next verse says, So I prophesied, Ezekiel goes on to say, and describe this event after having this exchange with God. He says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was this sound. Behold, a rattling. What's that sound? What's that rattling? Dare I say that it's the sound of restoration coming to your way? It's coming to your house. It's coming into your family. Dare I say it's the sound of healing? It's coming into your mind. What's that sound? I prophesy and I hear these bones rattling. Something's beginning to move. My relationships are being restored. The sensitivity to the Spirit is being returned to me. I'm hearing God's word as He speaks to me. I'm feeling His presence as it comes upon me. His anointing is in this house. What is that sound? That sound of a rattling. Things are beginning to move. Amen. Behold, a rattling in the bones. They come together, a bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them. The flesh had come back upon them. The skin had covered them. It would seem that God's purpose here is to restore and restore quickly what took forever to dry out. It would seem that at His command, these bones must respond. At His command, I must respond. It's a duty. I have an action. I have something that I must do. God calls me out. I have to respond to Him. I'm of His creation. If I don't respond, Scripture tells me even the rocks will cry out in my place. What does that tell me? I have a duty to respond to my Creator. When He breathes life into me, when He says, start moving, start shaking, when he says, dry bones start to come to life, start to rattle, I have a responsibility to recognize my God and claim what He's set before me. Amen? And so hear it. Now, hear it in your own words. I want to be made whole. I want to be made whole. I want to be made whole. Tell yourself this. You might think you're whole at the moment. I'm not sure that any of us are truly whole until we're with Him. I'm not sure any of us are truly whole until we've completed this journey. I think there's things that God still desires to restore to each and every one of us. No matter how far along this journey we might find ourselves, no matter how deep we are in our spiritual walks, there are things that God still desires to add to us. And so say it, hear it in your own words right now. I want to be made whole by God. I want to be restored. I want to be free. I want to be free of whatever the past man I used to be, whatever the past woman I used to be, whoever it is I used to see in the mirror. I want to be free of that. I want to be what God's called me to be instead. I want to go where He's called me to go. I want to speak what He's called me to speak. Amen. For the water. Dry bones, you shall live. And I looked, and behold, the sinews and the flesh and the skin, they had come upon them, but there was no breath in them. I'm coming to a close actually quite quickly here. There was no breath in them yet. These dry bones had gathered, and it would seem things were restored on the outside, or put back together again, healed even. Miraculous things had happened. There's no discounting this. And yet, the prophet looks and he sees there was no breath. There was no breath in them. When we read this to understand that the breath of God is His Spirit. We read this to understand that this prophecy is telling us of what God intended to do. It's telling Ezekiel of what God intended to do for His people, to pour His Spirit back into them. But it seems that there was a process of restoration that began even yet before His Spirit comes upon them. And so if you're listening right now and you've been seeking the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. You've been seeking God's Spirit, a healing Spirit, whatever. You're seeking God. You're seeking what He's promised you. He's promised you His Spirit. And we know that His Spirit can come in and refresh. It can come in and renew. It can give. It can bring things that I could never find on my own. But as the prophet looks at these bones, he even recognizes that though they are put back together again, though they are covered with skin, though they look human, they're still not living. They're still not alive. There's no breath in them. So God may have started a work in you, and you've yet to be filled with His Spirit. Don't be discouraged. Healing's already started. He's preparing you. Amen? Can we believe that? If you haven't heard yourself speak in other tongues, He's preparing you. These bones, they're coming back together again. They're piece by piece. And your body's being covered and restored and placed in order. And He has every intention of breathing His life and His breath into you. And though the process is fast, and though it is momentary compared to how long it took to separate from Him, there's still some things that He's doing. But rest assured, He has every intention of filling you with His Spirit. It's evident that God works in ways to prepare us for the infilling of His Spirit. So don't stop seeking it. I would say expect it. Expect it to come. He's not going to withhold it from you. He calls David a man after His own heart, and we see David's repentance. And at the end of it, it says, a broken and a contrite heart, God will not turn away. So stay contrite before Him. Stay submitted to Him. Stay broken before Him. Allow Him to continue to work. Amen. You will be filled with His Spirit. You will be filled with this renewing, this refreshing, the breath of life. Verse 9 says, then He said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on the slain, that they might live. And so I prophesied as He commanded, and the breath, they came to them, and they lived, and they stood on their feet, an exceeding great army. Can we stand to our feet right now and just praise Him? This passage, this scripture, this vision, it's showing the prophet the things to come. It's showing the prophet that God's intention is to come back into this world and renew us back to Him, to breathe into us the breath of life once again. The thing that we lost when we walked away and fell away from the garden, the thing that we lost when we found ourselves separated from God in this environment where the temple has this veil in it and we can't get into God's presence. We know what Jesus did. We know that He rent that veil from the top to the bottom. When He hung on that cross, when He died for my sin, when He died for your sin, we know that He created a passage. He created a way for me to be back in His presence. Amen? And we know that He does it through His Spirit. We know that He desires to pour His Spirit upon each and every one of us, each and every living thing, each and every one that would accept the promise. So speak to Him right now and speak to yourself. Prophesy. Prophesy in this place. If you would, place your hand upon yourself somewhere. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, I prophesy, Lord, that Your Spirit, Your breath will continue to restore these dry places. That Your Spirit and Your breath, Lord, will continue to restore anything, Jesus, that You desire for me. Anything, Lord Jesus, that You desire. Anything You've placed before me. Anything, Lord Jesus, that You desire in this body, in this vessel, restore it. As You've said in Your word, Jesus, prophesy over yourself. Continue to do so. Speak to the Lord. Jesus, I thank You, Lord, for Your word. I thank You, Jesus, for Your promise. I thank You, Jesus, Lord. Your Spirit, I've felt it. It's upon me. Your Spirit, Jesus, I thank You, Lord, for filling me with the Holy Ghost. I thank You, Jesus. But Lord, I'm asking for a renewing. I'm asking to be refreshed in You, God. Speak these words to Him. Hear them in Your own voice, Jesus. Lord, I lift up your name right now, and I declare that there's no other King of Kings, and there's no other Lord of Lords. There's no other place where I can go to be filled. There's no other place, Lord. I'm submitted to you right now, Jesus. Lord, I submit to you in this house, God. This is my moment. This is my moment to submit to you, Jesus. Lord, I will not let this moment pass me by. Lord, I won't let this moment pass, Jesus. Right now, if nothing else, with my voice, I'm saying, Jesus, I desire the things that you desire. Lord, I desire the things that you desire to inhabit my heart. Lord, I desire the things. I desire you to change me and transform me. Tell him this yourself. Jesus, you are good. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, hallelujah.